preach. That's a youth camp. And nobody has ever preached with any more of the power of God, and discernment, and the apparent blessing of God than through Josh Griffin at that youth camp. And the Lord blessed him in a mighty way. And it's always a joy to come here. I have some great memories in this place. Even in the old building, first time I came, y'all, in the other building. And I'm just amazed to see all that the Lord has done here and all that he's going to do and all he's doing now. And there ought to be 500 people here tonight. This community does not know what is sitting here and the advantage they have and the opportunity they have to get some help. So I appreciate what y'all are doing. Thank the Lord for Vacation Bible School next week.
Yeah.
You need to get right with God before you start Vacation
Bible School. Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So if you don't get right before you start, you won't be right when
you start. That's right. That's right.
Would it be all right for y'all if I read the scripture tonight?
Yes, sir.
Would that be an order you reckon?
Yes, sir.
That'd be all right. Why don't you open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians? And I'd like for us to read chapter 4, if that'd be all right. There's only 32 verses in it. It's a short chapter. And I can tell that my attempts at humor are going to fail. You will not hear anything else funny from me for the rest of the night. Ephesians chapter 4. Do you appreciate your Bible?
Amen.
I appreciate the book of Ephesians.
Sure do, too.
Chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Yeah.
And y'all believe your Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, will you believe what we're fixing to read?
Yes, sir.
With all lowliness.
Exactly.
Right. And y'all know what the word all means?
Yes, sir.
It means all. You know what the word all means in Greek?
Yes, sir. All.
It means all.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what the word all means in Hebrew?
All.
It means all. You know what the word all means in Chinese?
All.
It means all. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. And y'all have ever had the privilege of long suffering.
Yep.
Have y'all been married over 5 minutes?
Yep.
Aren't you what long suffering is?
That's right.
She puts up with you, don't she, sir? She puts up with you.
Yep.
Don't you, man?
That's right.
Hey, kids, they put up with you, don't
That's
they?
That's right.
And you put up with them, too, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling.
Right.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Who is above all. Have you know what the word all means?
Yeah.
All.
Who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? He that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Right.
And he gave some apostles.
Yes, sir.
And some prophets. And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry.
Yes.
For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine,
right,
by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love,
right,
may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together,
yes,
and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Right.
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, right, in the vanity of their mind.
Yeah, right.
That word vanity means uselessness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the world's mind operates.
Right.
It's a useless endeavor. That they don't come to any logical conclusions.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling,
well,
have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is just wickedness.
Yes, sir.
It's wickedness to the extreme. Given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ.
Well.
Brother Pastor, amen that.
Yep.
You have not so learned Christ.
Right.
If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
Yes,
that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man.
Right.
Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You notice that lusts are deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Don't you think it's strange that he would write these words to the church?
Yes, sir.
He's not talking to the barroom crowd.
No, sir.
He's not talking to the dope crowd. Yeah.
Nope.
He's talking to his people.
Yes.
He's talking to folks that are sitting in a church house.
That's right.
Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry. And you notice there's not a period there. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Devil doesn't have a place unless you give him one.
Well.
Devil's been kicked out of every place he's ever been.
Yes, sir.
And he has to lie and deceive somebody to find a resting place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But let him that stole steal no more. Yep. Strange words for the church.
Yes, sir.
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Yes, sir.
That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Yes, sir.
If the Lord had helped me a little while tonight, I want to talk to you about what I believe to be the great sin in the church.
Well.
And it's not just the church of today. I think it's been the church throughout the ages. It's been the great sin that shows up in church. And we read a whole list of things that Paul is addressing in this Ephesian letter. He's talking to a church that is split and divided.
Right.
There's Jews in the church.
Yes, sir.
And there are Gentiles in the church.
Yes, sir.
And he's let them know that God has broken down the middle wall of partition.
Right.
So that now in Christ it's not a Jewish church.
No. Right.
And it's not just a Gentile church. But Jew and Gentile have been brought together in one place, in one body, with one Lord.
Amen.
There's one Lord for Jew and Gentile.
Right, that's right.
The Jews don't have one God, the Gentiles have another.
No, sir.
There's one Lord, there's one faith.
Yes, sir.
It's not a Jewish church, it's not a Gentile church.
Nope.
It's in Christ now.
Yep.
One baptism. There's one hope, there's one calling, there's one God and Father over us all.
That's right.
And can you imagine what it would be like to be a member of that church?
Mm-hmm.
Where you got a Jewish rabbi sitting over here who is watching a bunch of Gentiles do things that all of his life he's been taught was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Everything that they eat, he's been taught was a sin.
Right.
They have fellowship after church.
Yep.
And the Gentile will bring a big old cured ham wrapped in bacon.
Hey, man.
With shrimp
stuck
on the side.
Yeah.
And catfish fillets.
Yeah.
And here the Jewish people look at that and they want to puke.
Yep.
And here the Gentile people looking at these Jews with their funny beards.
Yep.
And their funny way of dress.
Yep.
And they won't have anything to do with them because of the ham.
Yes,
and
sir.
The bacon and
that's
the
shrimp. Right.
That's right. And before long, you have got a Baptist church.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
You've got folks that don't know how to get along.
Yeah.
And before long, things begin to happen in a church.
Right.
Where Jesus is the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where we have one faith. And one Lord.
That's right.
And one baptism. Amen. And one hope. And one calling. In that one body.
Right.
You have a whole bunch of stuff that shows up in that body that should not be there.
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't come from studying the Bible.
Well.
It doesn't come from an all-night prayer meeting.
Well.
It comes when people begin to live their life for themselves.
Amen.
And they have their agenda and they have their way of looking at things and have their way of doing things. And Grandpa gave the land for the church to be built on, so that excuses me from any responsibility of ever being right or being holy.
Tell it.
Somehow or the other, they got crossways with one another, and whenever that happens, every wicked thing you can possibly think of begins to show up in church.
Well.
Yeah. Well, now.
Y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I know. Well.
Some of the ugliest things that have ever been said have been said in church.
Yes, sir.
By church people.
Yes, sir.
To church people.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
If you want to get your feelings hurt,
come on,
go to church.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody there will do something crazy.
Yep.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Amen.
That will bring division in a church.
Right.
You'd be surprised how many folks think that where they sit is really their seat.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody else comes near it, I've seen women with walking sticks threaten people if they try to sit in their seat.
Yes, sir.
Crazy. That is a big deal in church, don't you think?
Crazy.
Amen.
Christ died for our sins and paid the awful price on Calvary.
Yep.
So I ain't got to go to hell so somebody can sit on a seat and shake a walking stick in somebody's face and say, get out of here and go to hell. I don't care if everybody's saved or not. Just don't sit in my seat.
Yeah, that's right.
And people get crossways about all kind of stuff.
That's right.
And they forget why God put a church together.
Yeah.
And they forget why God put gifted men in a church.
Right.
Exactly right.
They don't understand why God gave them a pastor.
Well,
how many of y'all know we don't have any more apostles?
No, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That yoke is gone.
That's right.
Nobody has apostolic authority.
No, sir.
Nobody has apostolic power.
Right.
No preacher can come in here and tell that preacher what to do.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
There's no such thing in the Bible of one bishop being over another bishop.
Right.
Amen, preacher.
Every church is self-government.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I lost my thought.
That's right.
Where was I at? Anyway. Well, anyway, church is self-governing. And God gave you a pastor. We don't have apostles.
That's right.
Amen. We don't have prophets.
No, sir.
Right.
Walter.
Amen.
The gift of prophecy ceased.
Amen.
It right. stopped.
Yes.
Amen.
When the dot at the end of Revelation dried, that was the end
That's right.
of prophecy.
That's right.
We don't need prophets.
No, sir.
We have the written word of God.
Amen.
But we do have evangelists. And you know, the word evangelist only appears three times in the New Testament.
Come on now.
All an evangelist is a preacher.
Right.
Right.
The word for evangelist comes from the word for angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is a messenger.
Yep.
An evangelist is a messenger. He's not the Lord over a church.
That's right.
He doesn't come in here and preach a meeting and tell the pastor how to run a church.
No, sir.
That's not his job.
Nope.
It's not his job to come into a church and straighten out a church.
No, sir.
It's his job to come and help a church.
That's right.
It's his job to come and help a pastor.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's his job to come and encourage a church.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not beat a bunch of people to death.
That's right.
His job is to encourage them. But you do have a pastor.
Right.
You do have a pastor who is your teacher.
That's right. Amen.
Who has been sent here to instruct you so you can grow.
Yes,
right.
And you can mature.
Right.
And you can develop and become the church that God wants you to be.
Right.
So that this body builds itself up in love.
Amen.
Tell it.
I wish I had a little bit of help.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere.
That's right.
The church is supposed to work together to strengthen one another in love so that this church looks like Jesus.
Amen.
When people come into this church, they can recognize Jesus is here.
Right.
He is the head and this is his body and the body matches the head.
Right.
Good.
Tell it. That's right.
Most or many churches are deformed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
They don't look like a church.
Right, right.
They don't function like a church.
Tell
they don't worship like a church.
Right.
They don't sing like a church.
Tell
they don't preach in the church.
Yeah.
It's not a church.
Yep.
It looks like a freak.
Yep.
One of the reasons a lot of your friends and neighbors and kin folks don't come to church is they think church is a bunch of freaks because we don't resemble Jesus one.
Well.
We are professing to be something we're not.
Well.
We are professing to have something that we do not have.
Amen.
Tell it now.
I wish I had a little bit of help right
now. Yeah.
Now that brings me to the great sin
mm-hmm.
that I think is in church. Yeah. And that is verse 30. Grieve not
yes,
the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
I think the great sin in church
come on now.
Is grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Did you know the average church functions as if there is no Holy Spirit?
Yep.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is not necessary and needed in the average church.
Well.
They can do what they do with Him or without Him.
Come on now.
They can sing and it doesn't matter if He shows up in the singing or not.
Well.
Somebody in this room ought to just stand up and throw up a hand and holler glory to God for the singing y'all already heard tonight.
Amen.
I just thought it's tremendous to hear y'all sing in the sweet forever.
Amen.
Yeah. I thought that was tremendous.
Sure.
It wasn't just y'all singing.
Right.
There was somebody else in the room besides
yep.
us singing yep. tonight.
Amen.
I thought that was tremendous.
Yes, sir.
Our little girl testified. That wasn't just a little girl testifying.
Right.
There was somebody else.
Sure.
In that voice besides her.
Sure.
That wasn't something she planned out today.
Nope.
Amen.
She didn't sit in the room this afternoon and write all of that out.
No, sir.
That just came out because it was something inside
right.
that pushed
right.
it out.
Right.
The average church can get along fine without the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The average preacher can get along fine without the Holy Spirit. I was talking to I was at a meeting, and a preacher came and got me in the middle of the service. He said, "I got to talk to you right now." And I went outside with him, and he's all tore up. And he said, I hear these preachers talking about God talking to them, and they heard the Lord say, and God led them to." He said, "I don't know anything about that." He said, "God never talks to me. I've never heard what you all say you've heard when you say God spoke to me."
Mm.
I said, "Well, I don't know what the problem is. All I know is Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice."
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right.
Yep. He's talking. I don't know why you ain't heard it.
Yep.
Amen. So I've never heard it. I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. How do you get a sermon?"
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
"How do you know what to preach?"
Right.
He said, "Well, I just grab something and go with it." I said, "You mean the Lord never impresses you to go to a place
that's
to study?
Right.
You just get one and get, okay, here it is." I said, "Yeah, that's the way I do it."
Lord have mercy.
Mm. Mm.
He pastors a church in your state.
Wow.
He's not very far from where I'm standing right now. And he does not know the voice of God.
I believe it, yeah.
And it's obvious in the way they're having church right now. They've never heard the voice of God.
Tell it, preacher.
All they've got is their emotions.
Right.
And all they've got is an agenda to please the congregation and to please the community.
Yep.
And to try to rewrite everything so that everybody that's lost comes in and feels comfortable about being lost.
Tell it now.
Look here, a lost person ought to come in your church and enjoy the singing, but there ought to be something in the singing that'll touch his heart and stab him in his heart and let him know, "I ain't got what those people got."
Yep.
A lost man ought to come into church and hear the preacher preach and know that he loves him, but he ought to know that he ain't got what that preacher's talking
about.
That's
exactly right.
They ought to be around you every now and then and know that they ain't got what you got.
That's exactly right.
You got something living in you that they don't have living in you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
That lives in us.
Yes.
To make Jesus as real as if he was standing right next to us.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Good preaching.
That's right.
The average Christian acts like there's no Holy Spirit.
Well,
there's no conviction.
Come on.
What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do when he came?
Reprove.
Yes.
He will reprove
right.
and rebuke.
Yep.
Reprove, he'll tell a fault. He'll point out where it's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Have y'all besides me have ever done something and immediately?
Yes, sir.
There's something on the inside says that ain't right.
You yep.
Supposed to do
yep.
Yes, that's wrong. Don't say that again. Go
yep.
tell me sorry.
Try.
I shouldn't have done that. That was out of place.
Amen. Been there, preacher.
I was driving down the road and something came through my mind. Wasn't even supposed to be there. And I had to pray and ask the Lord to get it out of my mind.
Yep.
I didn't say anything.
Yep.
I didn't see anything. It just run through my mind. That ain't supposed to be in my mind.
Amen.
Immediately he let me know that ain't supposed to be the way you think.
Well.
We don't talk like we used to talk. We don't walk like we used to walk. We don't act like we used to act because there's somebody living in us that will not let us do what we used to do.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Did you know everything that God does for you and to you and through you somehow or another goes through the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you have to be born again.
Right.
From above. You've got to be born of the Spirit.
Yes.
We are born again through that incorruptible seed that has been energized and empowered by the Spirit of God.
Yes,
sir. So that it will bring fruit and spring up and be real in your life.
Yes, sir.
My salvation is through the Spirit of God.
You better believe it.
My sanctification is through the Spirit of God. We're sanctified through that Spirit. We're drawn apart. Sanctification just simply means God has set you apart, cleans you up just for Him.
Right.
Have y'all ever bought a set of dishes? Okay, y'all eat off the floor? That ain't a trick question. Anybody be afraid to answer that question?
Amen.
Anybody ever buy dishes? Okay. Do you just take them out of the box and start using them?
Nope.
No. And tell you, plain as day, it's written in Chinese and French and Arabic. Wash these things before you use them.
Right. Yep.
Always make sure mine get washed. Yeah. And what do you do with them when you wash them? Do you throw them out in the yard?
No, sir.
Do you have a special place where you put them?
Amen.
You hang them up there somewhere where they are clean.
Yep.
Wow, I didn't know who the Kentucky lives on that different.
Come on, preacher.
Is there a clean place where you put your dishes?
Yep.
Yeah.
You have a special place. It's your place where you put your dishes clean.
Yeah.
Your tomcat don't climb all over once you put them up there, does
it? I hope not. I hope not to.
That's a different message for a different night.
Might need to preach it too.
Anyway, cat hairs are not conducive for company.
Nope.
When you wash them dishes, you set them apart because you're going to use them. You can't hardly wait to get up the next morning, fry some bacon and cook some eggs and put on that clean plate.
Right.
And make some good strong coffee, put in that coffee cup.
Yep.
Because you are going to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
And in using it, what happens?
It gets dirty.
If you throw it in the yard, so I'm through this aggravating thing because it got dirty.
Nope.
You wash it, put it right back in that clean place.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if this ever happens in Kentucky or not, but once in a while, there'll be something get stuck on that plate. Requires a little scrubbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell it now.
Put it up until it's clean.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You young girls, listen to me. These old folks, they don't know what I'm talking about. I reckon I'm over their head. But y'all going to get married one day. And when you get married, don't make your poor husband go eat off a dirty dish.
Tell it now.
Clean it.
Tell it, preacher.
Amen. Don't make your youngins eat out of dirty dishes.
Amen.
Clean them. Set up in a clean place.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
That's what the Holy Ghost does to us.
Yeah.
He set, when he got saved, he cleansed me and then set me apart so he could use me. And
well,
just going through this world, the dust of Egypt gets on me.
Yep.
Whether I touch anything or taste anything, or it gets on me.
Right.
And I got to have another bath.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Exactly right.
In that church, they're having odds with one another.
Yes.
And they're saying things about one another. And they're lying to one another.
Yes.
Yeah. There's an awful lot of lying goes on in the church.
Yep.
That is right.
Tell it now.
Yeah.
I've been praying for you.
Come on,
no, I haven't.
Well.
But people say stuff like that.
They do.
Yeah. I ain't prayed.
Liars.
I really do love you.
Mm.
I'm trying to. Best I know how.
Right.
Everybody tells you that they tell you the truth.
That's right.
If you ever need me, call me.
Come on now.
They lie.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Well.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of stuff creeping in church.
Yeah.
There's all that list of things that he says, that's the way the Gentiles do it. Y'all need to come away from that. Put off that.
Right.
You know your whole Christian life is based upon putting off and putting on.
Yes. That is right.
That's how your day goes as a Christian.
Right.
You take off and you put on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I ask questions. That's just my style of doing it. And if you don't answer me, it's all right. But play along. That ain't hard.
Yeah. That's right.
It ain't hard to either one of them. It ain't hard to do anything. Did anybody get up this morning? Okay, the rest of you still in bed. Right?
Yeah.
I don't want you to get up in the morning. But I stumbled literally into the bathroom. And I try my best to get off the night clothes and put on my day clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
I would be embarrassed to stand before you right now and what I got up this morning wearing.
Sure.
My joggers would not fit right now.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take them off.
Yeah.
And lay them aside.
Amen.
I put on my traveling clothes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the room in a while. I'm taking this off.
Right.
I ain't sleeping in this.
Mm-mm.
I got to take it off.
Right.
In the morning, I'm going to take off what I slept in and put on what I'm going to wear tomorrow.
Right.
It's a putting on, taking on. I'm very happy to be in Kentucky this week because the humidity is about 2,000%.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Where I came from this morning at 6:00, if you walked outside, it'd almost take your breath.
Yes, sir.
Humidity is high, and it just gets worse between now and October.
Yep.
Last week, I worked out in the yard every day, and I changed my clothes about 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
They were sopping wet.
Yeah.
Soaked as if you had thrown in a swimming pool. And I took them off because they were dirty.
Right.
I took them off because they had sand all over them.
Right.
I took them off because I couldn't go in my house and sit down.
Right.
In my chair.
Yeah.
Wearing that stuff that was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's wrong with the average church? They hadn't changed clothes in a long time.
Well.
Yeah.
They're still trying to hang on to the old dirty stuff.
Yes, my own preacher.
They're supposed to take off.
Yes.
And they haven't put on what they're supposed to put on. And so, here comes the stuff flooding in that shouldn't be in church.
Yeah.
Because nobody is paying any attention.
Yes, sir.
To the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Let's see if I can understand. Could you imagine what it would be like? Men, let me start with you. If your wife worked all day cooking your favorite meal, and she cleaned the house, and she got your 5 young'uns all bathed in good clothes to meet you at the door when you came in from work, with your favorite meal on the table, already got your iced tea poured, whatever you're going to drink ice for. And you meet her at the door and you say, well, thank you for the good food and thank you for taking care of the young. It's a good day. Thank you for the clean house. But my old girlfriend called me up today and her old boy just got out of jail and I know payday today. But I'm going to take my check over there and help her get him straightened out. And he's on dope and all that. But I'm just going to give him a paycheck this week to help my old ex-girlfriend get her old sorry boy. How would that go? That wouldn't work very good, would it?
Nope.
Okay, sir. Put it this way. What if you stopped by the jewelry store on the way home and bought your wife a diamond bracelet that you'd been saving for and it was something that you knew she would really love and you Couldn't hardly wait to get to the house. And when you got there, she met you at the door and said, "Well, sweetheart, sure appreciate the diamond bracelet I wear." My old boyfriend just showed back up, and I'm going to go over there and be with him tonight for a while. And we're going to watch some TV and sit around and think about old times. And some of the old games going to be there. We're just going to sit around big time.
Yeah.
How would that go?
Not very well.
Not good.
That is exactly what church people do every day to the Lord.
Right.
You take what God has given you and you go right back to the very one that robbed you.
Well.
And wrecked you. And ruined you. And throwed you in the mud and kicked you in your teeth. And took away everything out of your life that was worth having. You take all that God has done for you and you take it over there, and that's where your energy goes.
Well,
that's where your love goes. That's where your affection goes.
Well, good night.
The evil speaking. The bad communication.
Mom preacher.
The anger. The clamor. The bitterness. What you do at the house that nobody knows anything
right
about.
Sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All of that stuff is just like going back to the old girlfriend.
Right.
Or the old boyfriend. And we grieve the Holy Spirit by taking the treasures that He's given us and throwing them down as if there's nothing to it.
Well,
that was my introduction. Can I give you 3 points?
Yes, sir.
Enlightened, that grieving the Holy Spirit, I tried to illustrate it. But from a scriptural standpoint, I'm just going to get it out and I'm going to go. What makes it so bad, if you read the whole book?
Yes.
Number one, in the light of our exalted position in Christ, we have no business taking the good things of God and treating them lightly. How many of y'all know you have an exalted position in Christ?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We'll go to chapter 1 just a minute.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. Paul likes that word all.
Yep.
All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yep.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy.
Yep.
And without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And there's some words you're not to be afraid of.
That's
right.
Yes.
That's chosen right. Is not a word to be afraid of.
Nope.
He chose us in him.
Right.
And he predestinated us unto the adoption of children.
That's right.
Predestination is not an ugly word.
Nope.
Amen.
That does not mean that God sat back in eternity and said, I'm gonna create all these people just so I can send them to hell.
Nope.
God didn't do that.
Nope.
God never created a whole race of people just so he could throw them all in hell.
That's right.
Right.
I'll tell you what he did do. Back before the blood seals of this world were ever laid, God knew how this thing was going to turn out.
Yep.
He elected to save the ones that would come to him.
That's right.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
God elected to save you when you came to him.
Right.
That was his choice.
Yep.
Before the foundation of the world, to save you if you come to him.
Yep.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Yep.
And he predestinated us under the adoption of children. Now, we sang the song sometime about, I've been adopted, I'm a child of the king. No, you haven't been adopted yet.
Yep.
We have received the spirit of adoption.
Right.
Whereby we cry, Abba Father.
That's exactly right.
But we have been predestinated to be in the presence of God one day as a son just like Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
Okay, now don't get excited about that.
That's right.
Hold on now.
Hold that down to a moderate level. Don't let that get out of hand. He has predestined you one day to turn out to be just exactly right. Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And he will set us down at his table, and Jesus will be our elder brother.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be just like
him. Yep. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I said, just don't get excited about that. God took me out of Adam.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And took Adam out of me.
Yep.
And replaced it with Jesus.
Yes.
I have borne the image of the earthly. I will bear the image
That's
of the earthly.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Now, in light of that, why should I take the Spirit's blessings and throw them back into the world?
That's right.
Number two, the pitiful predicament we're all in before we got saved. Chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
We had the quickened who were dead in trespasses. Right.
Yes.
And it said, you were dead in trespasses. Now, that death in the Bible doesn't mean if I can lay down and feel like a rock.
Right.
Death in the Bible implies a separation. When the prodigal son left home, his father said, my son was dead.
Yep.
And now he's alive.
Right.
Matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says you're dead.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
It doesn't mean that old nature stopped being in existence. It said, well, you've been
separated from it.
So that old man does not have
separated
to
from it. That's right.
You were dead in trespasses. Trespassing. You went where you weren't supposed to go. You climbed the fence in somebody's territory beside your own.
Yep.
You violated God. You robbed God. You wronged God.
Yeah.
But God, who is rich in mercy.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Came by where you were and picked you up, lifted you out, and delivered you. Why? In light of that, should I take what God's given me and throw it back into the world? And then number three is the power that God has available to us as his children. Chapter 3. If y'all listen fast, I'll preach fast and I'll be through just a minute. I love this little place in the Bible. Verse 13 of chapter 3. Wherefore I desire that you faint not my tribulation for you, which is your glory. This cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in a man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Right.
He does exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that now works in us.
Right.
Long now.
Some of y'all are waiting to get something that you already got.
Well, tell it now.
Okay. Once again, you ain't got to respond, but it sure helps my message if you will.
Come on now.
How many of y'all have any experience with electric lights?
Oh, yes.
Where is there a light switch here anywhere?
Right behind Seth.
Right here. Yes, I can meet you just now. How about that?
Yep.
And what I need to do is do a holy. We all need to get down this light switch and pray for power.
Well.
Oh God! We need some power. Really? Do you?
Then got it.
I was already there.
Yeah. Amen.
You prayed for something you already got?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all know you couldn't occupy this building until an inspector checked your panel box?
United.
To make sure that the power that comes into this place.
That's exactly right.
Is suitable.
Yep.
All the power that's on that light wire out there were to be brought into this building at one time, that would blow it up.
Yes, it would.
Yep. You couldn't handle all that power one time.
Right.
Amen.
But there's a transformer out there.
Yep.
On that pole that sends to this place exactly what this place needs.
Right.
So that everything that's in this place can work the way it's supposed to.
Right.
Come on, preacher.
On how they do it in Kentucky. But in Florida, whenever they turn that power on, that panel box or the meter, all of the breakers on the inside are off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where y'all do it up there.
Yep.
Because they will take them one at a time to make sure somebody messed up something.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to make the lights work in here, you got to find that panel box and find where the breaker is.
Yeah.
And you flip one breaker at a time. Until the whole panel box is working like it's supposed to.
Yes, sir.
The question is never going to be the power.
Nope.
It's going to be if you use it or not.
Well.
Yeah. Man.
Where's the rest of the lights at?
On that side right there.
Okay. These are all these rest of the lights?
Yep.
Okay.
What behind Chris now?
Turn it off. Still
Dick.
Hit him, Dick.
All right, now what's our problem? We ain't got no power. Really?
No, we got it. Just ain't using it.
Now the problem is, where's the switch? How am I going to find the switch? Turn it back on now. Do you people see?
Come on, preacher.
God has sent you the power.
Yep.
Yeah.
To be what you are supposed
That's exactly
to be.
Right.
Yes,
sure is.
The problem is not in the power.
No, sir.
The problem is the switch.
Amen.
And who has it on and who has it off.
Well.
And you're stumbling around in the dark and you're cussing the dark because you don't know to turn the switch. It's a simple thing.
It sure is.
And instead of turning the switch for the light to come on, you wander off out in the dark and you stumble and you fall and you mess up and you turn around and blame everybody in the whole world because you stumbled in the dark.
Right.
You stumbled in the dark because you would not turn on the light.
Tell it, preacher.
You have what you need to be what you're supposed to be.
Yes.
You ain't got to go out there.
Yes.
You ain't got to find nothing
That's
out
right.
there. God's put it in you. It's right. working in you
yes.
now.
Right.
Every decision you need to make, God's giving you what you
That's
need
right.
right now to make it.
Yes, sir.
Everything you need to turn away from, God's put
Listen
it in
now.
You
right
now. So you can turn away from whatever you got to turn away from.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to live in the dark.
Hey, man.
You don't have to walk in the dark.
No, sir.
But when you don't turn on the light switch,
well,
you're grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
You're doing great damage.
Yes.
To the bountiful blessing of God to give you power. And to give you light. And you turn away from it and you walk out in the darkness.
Yeah.
act as if it's God's fault.
Well,
it ain't God's fault.
No, sir.
Well, Josh, am I making every bit of sense in the world?
Yes, sir.
God has given us what we need.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't use it.
Nope.
I had a missionary tell me that down in Brazil, some Americans sent those Brazilians some front-end loaders so their work could be a lot easier. And he said, I never could convince them Brazilians that the bucket would do the work.
Mm.
They get to a pile of dirt and they'd all get a shovel and fill up the bucket.
Wow.
So I never could make them believe that the machine would do the work.
Mm.
And I'm an old man. I got my cardio tonight just talking to y'all. Trying to let you know that you're trying to do it yourself. And God don't give you the power to do it.
Right.
And ignoring it. And you're blaming everybody and everything.
Listen now.
And the problem is just the switch. The power's on it.
It's that simple.
We make excuses for why we can't.
Yep.
Why we don't.
Right. Yep.
Truth of the matter is, we won't.
Yep.
W-O-N-T.
Yep.
You just won't do it. You get accustomed to the dark.
Come on now.
Don't want to turn the lights on. It's darkness rather than light. That's what it is.
The night is coming.
Yes.
The day's already spent. People have wandered off into the dark.
Mm.
That's where they're going to stay.
Right.
Average church would rather stay in the dark than walk in the light.
Right.
Yeah.
Average preacher would rather be dead and dull and boring than have a light. An average church member would rather stumble in darkness than be spiritual to spiritual and turn it on.
Yeah.
Now, how about you? There can never be the music. How you want to do it? Here is anybody in the room tonight that's real grateful for the position God has placed you in as His son and daughter? Are you thankful to be saved?
Amen.
But I got one amen on that. A nod in the head would be good. Are you glad you're saved?
Yes, sir.
Anybody here glad you ain't going to hell?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Anybody glad if you're saved you can't go to hell?
Amen.
God's put you in a place where you can't lose. Are you glad for that power that God's put in your life?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything that you need to turn the switch on to make it work? Anything in your life that you need to surrender to the switch? Would you quit trying to be a Christian? Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Would you quit trying to quit? Would you quit trying to start? Would you quit trying to stop? And would you just turn loose and let God have you? Let's stand.
Amen.
Lord, I thank this people and their patience. Now, Lord, whatever invitation you bring to this, from the call tonight, you minister.